afternoon. Oh my God, my voice just cracked right there. Good afternoon. Today is, what is today? April 13th, it's 2 o'clock Eastern time. Today's, I don't know, we got a weird news day for you guys today. It's going to be a weird, weird one, I think. Well, it is. It's going to be a weird one. Anyway, my name is Steve Oatley. This show is called Freight Broker Live. It is the one and only talk show that's daily, Monday through Friday, where we just talk about trucking through and through. We talk about news stories on my site and other sites, freightbrokerlive.com. We talk about trends. We talk about rates. We talk about everything. Today's one's going to be a little unique because we have a breaking news story that we're going to talk about now. I just found it and I don't have an article yet, but this is, it's another one of those stories. It's probably going to blow your mind a little bit because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. As you can see down here, we have a new sponsor this month. The show is sponsored by Ascend TMS, the free TMS system. I got a little video I'm going to play in a little bit for that one. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting show because we're going to talk about rates. We're going to talk about DAT's market conditions index a little bit today, because I think it's a very cool tool. It's extremely frightening when you actually think about what it's showing. I did write an article about it today, and I don't know, and I'm just gonna lead right into it, and then I'll go through my video for the Ascend TMS. But there's something new. I just saw FreightWaves put out an article, and I was like, wait, this cannot be right. And it turns out it is. So according to the FMCSA, they put out new guidance today that allows people to take their CDL skills test with someone via camera. I'm not joking. Like, this sounds so stupid, but apparently now you can take your skills test with either people following in a trail behind vehicle with a camera inside the truck. In accordance to the 49 CFR 383.131B, SDLAs must administer tests using a test examiner information manual, blah, blah, blah. This is nuts. It's literally nuts. I got to write an article about it because it doesn't make any sense. First, you eliminate the need for a CDL license holder to be in the passenger seat with a CDL truck or a CDL permit holder. He could be sleeping in the back now, so obviously that increases mileage. Then last week, I wrote an article on it. They exempted the requirement for CDL knowledge test takers to have to be trained to give the CDL knowledge test. Now, as long as you do a skills test and you're able to do a skills test, you're able to administer a knowledge test as well, which is just weird because it doesn't make any sense. Considering that we have an overabundance of capacity on the state's highways right now, we have way too many trucks, which is causing rates to go lower. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But apparently that wasn't enough. So now they're trying to figure out a way to test CDL drivers via camera or a trail car or something. So basically, the plan should detail how the state intends to administer the test without compromising safety, observe the skills test from a second vehicle, or leverage technology, and score the test along with any other information the state believes would help FMCSA determine whether the test administration is comparable to the AAMVA model. This is insane. It's insane. We don't need any more trucks on the road. I don't know why. It's just stupid. I don't understand it. This is real. This is new guidance that was just issued today by the FMCSA. Maybe a few minutes ago. I don't even know how old this is. But if you look down to question 13 on this new guidance, and you could find the guidance on the FMCSA website, it's literally stupid. It's just doesn't make any sense. Okay, so we're going to let examiners now follow and give a CDL test while they're not in the same vehicle. Doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't make any sense at all to me. I don't know what's going on with the videos. If it's lagging, I apologize to you guys. There's nothing I could do about that. Without further ado, here's an intro video. This is my new sponsor for the next 30 days or so. Check them out.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares could take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
Anyway, someone said that you couldn't hear me, so I upped the mic a little bit. If it's too loud, let me know. Someone else the other day said it was too loud. So yeah, it's hard because when, you know, I could test all the software and all that stuff. Hold on. I have to put that screen back. So I could test all the software and stuff before I go live, but what happens when I go live is kind of hit or miss. So at any rate, I turned up the mic. Hopefully it's not too loud for some of you guys now. I really don't like that. It caught me off guard a little bit. You know, the fact that they can now issue CDL tests from camera systems. Like, I mean, it's kind of cool tech wise, but it's extremely stupid when we have too many damn trucks on the road in the first place. And I'll talk about that when I get into the rate index, because it's or the market conditions index from DAP, because it's not when I plugged it in, when I was super excited to get it. So for anyone that doesn't know, I'll just quickly go over it right now because I think it's important. So let me make sure. Okay, so this is the DAP Market Conditions Index. So it's a brand new feature that DAP released on Monday or Friday. It's pretty cool, except for when you look at what it actually means. So basically, the light blue color that you see across pretty much the entire United States, that is the load to truck basic. It's a capacity color. So it basically, they take capacity and how many trucks are in each area, and then they mark it. So if you look here, it's very loose capacity. That's what the coverage means. I know on a different show before, the guy screwed it up, even though he's, you know, a market expert. But very loose capacity means that rates are way down. That's what it means. When rates are way down, trucks are going to go out of business. This is what's going to happen. People are going to go out of business. And as much as I don't like to be the negative guy and I like to be a positive person all the time, who knows how long this is going to last? I really don't know. But, I mean, it's crazy. Like, this new feature, everyone that has DAP power, you guys should have it now. If you go to your load board and you click on the little briefcase up here, you'll be able to see it. And everybody has it. And it goes for van, flatbed. Flatbeds are a little bit better, which is surprising, but the rates are still very low. But there's at least more of a, you know, an area or, you know, more of a capacity crunch. So you see some places here where the capacity is a little bit tight. Therefore, you have a little bit more negotiation on in terms of what kind of rates that you're going to get paid. I just saw a comment before, which it said one big three-letter broker, you guys all know who they are, they had an 800-mile run. They're paying $850 for it. So it's crazy. I looked at our breakdown of freight we moved last week. We didn't our base profit essentially stayed the same on all loads, but we covered quite a bit more loads because people needed to move loads, you know. And so when I was looking at our system, we ended up covering quite a bit of loads. But our profit level or our like the amount of money that we actually made in comparison was down a little bit, even though we moved more loads, if that makes sense. I don't know. I mean, because this thing, you can go in the forward. This is a 7-day forecast. So all the numbers and the colors and everything that you see on your screen here. Let me throw it back up. So everything you see on your screen, these are like right now, this is for Friday. So this is showing if it updated. No, I didn't update yet. So this is what capacity is going to look like on Friday. Which is, and again, this is flatbed. So if I go back to van, it's not good. I'm not trying to laugh and think it's funny. Look at Friday. This is what DAP's index, the new market conditions index, is saying, that every place that's in blue, we're screwed. We're screwed. The trucking industry is not, and who knows how long this is going to last. That's the thing that's really concerning to me, is nobody understands. Nobody can say how long this is going to last. It's, you know, I know the governor in New York, Cuomo, just got on and said that New York is finally over that cusp, or however they're getting to that judgment call. I don't care. But this is extremely bad. You know, I read a different article before. It talked about all the automakers shutting down. And now, you know, I just wrote about the, who was it? Smithfield Foods, the plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which you guys probably remember because I wrote an article last week. First one to first freight media to pick up that article. And, you know, they had 80 people test positive. Fast forward 2 or 3 days later, now they have 253 people test positive, and they closed the number one producing plant in the United States, the number one pork producing, you know, or pork processing plant in the United States. They shut it down indefinitely. They don't even know when they're going to open. Tyson Foods has done that at a bunch of different locations. It's not good. Iceman Northland on YouTube said he's in a food grade tanker and he's running like mad. That's the thing, is there is still freight out there. I'm not talking about, I mean, this is based on load to truck volume. So according to that, there's not a lot of load. There's not a lot of loads. We're seeing a 60% reduction in businesses that are being open. Now, some new businesses are opening all the time, but a state like New Jersey just shut down all non-essential construction, which means unless you're building a hospital or anything like that, they just shut it all down. I think Massachusetts is trying to do the same thing, as well as Pennsylvania. That's going to drastically affect flatbed too, because you're going to get there and there's going to be no one there to offload your truck because they're considered non-essential. It's mind-blowing to me. It's a little mind-blowing just how quickly and how drastically it's all spreading, you know, and I don't know. It's concerning, you know, and that's why I wrote the article. When I plugged in, I was super excited to see this market conditions index from DAT. I was super excited, and there's no fault of them. This is what a predictive model is supposed to do. It's supposed to predict what the future is going to be like. Unfortunately, it's released at a time when you don't want to know what the future is really going to hold. I know I do, and that's one of the reasons why I pay attention to everything, but this is some sketchy stuff. I mean, this is just blue. And that's why I say a sea of blue, because that's what it is. That just means that trucking is it's not going to look good, guys. You know, here's reefer. Let's see what next Friday's reefer looks like, according to DAT Market Index. Little bit, I mean, in South Florida has been staying hot pretty much all week, but the majority of the state is still in a very cool, very loose capacity, which means we have a tremendous amount of trucks in the area. Like I said, that article that I was talking about before said that because all the auto plants are closing, 300,000 trucks already have just entered the spot market because they need to keep moving, otherwise they're going to lose it. If the rest of the automakers and the parts makers and all those people close, because they're considered essential right now, but if all those places close, that, you know, there could be 600,000 trucks going, you know, entering the market in a time when we don't need any other trucks. That's why it doesn't make sense to me why the FMCSA is making all these exemptions to bring on additional drivers when rates are so low and there's such an overabundance of capacity right now. Is it in prep for when this does reboot and then there's a whole bunch of freight? I would prefer, as a broker, because I care more about the shipper or the care more about the carrier side, to have capacity issues when freight starts moving again. Why? Because then people are going to be able to pull themselves out of the hole. But if we have a huge amount of trucks, when freight finally does start to turn in, you know, who knows how long it's going to be. You know, some people say Q4. But I don't know. It's scary. It's really scary when you look at it from an economic standpoint and what the hell is going to happen to the freight industry in general. It's a little unnerving to me. I mean, clearly, it's a little unnerving. It makes me nervous because I'm like, what the hell is going on? Cheryl said, how many trucks? I missed that number. I don't know what you're talking about in terms of trucks. This is load-to-truck volume. So this is showing reefer. So this is, you know, it's just not good. In any place you click on, it's showing, you know. And anyone who has DAT power, you guys all have this now. It's free for everybody until June at some point, they said. But, I mean, it's just very loose capacity for everything. It's, I don't know, man. Like I said, it's a little unnerving to me because it doesn't say anything except this. This is today. How are you guys feeling on the road? Are you seeing loads? Because when I ran lanes this morning, and I wasn't running them to get quotes, I was running to see load-to-truck volumes. You know, I did the Newark, New Jersey market to Southern California market. I think there were 7 loads posted and 40 or 80 trucks or 180 trucks, something crazy. And then I did the Los Angeles to Newark, New Jersey. And I think there were two loads posted in 150 miles of Los Angeles, two loads posted in 190 trucks. That's crazy. And that's direct, zone to zone, or not zone to zone, but region, 150 mile radius based on what I looked for. And it was the same. It's in the article. I forgot. Actually, I got it right here. Newark to Los Angeles, there were six loads and 48 trucks. On the way back, there were two loads and 86 trucks. Chicago to Dallas, there were seven loads posted in Chicago area this morning. It was probably about 9:30 when I looked. Seven loads posted at 9:30 in the morning and 187 trucks posted. And people wonder why freight rates are low. Jacksonville to Los Angeles, two loads posted, and there were 10 trucks. And I did check the way back, and it was different because it went off a lot of zone stuff because nobody wants to come to Florida. So it's crazy. Freight Genie said fancy new microphone. Yeah, I got a whole new setup, soundboard and all that stuff. Trying to be all professional here. Thank you, OTR, because you essentially paid for this. So it's crazy. Iceman Northland on YouTube said, my brother runs flatbed out of Minnesota, and he said there were only 83 loads in the entire state. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I could run some comparison right now just to search loads. Because Newark, New Jersey, anyone who ever knows, there's usually like 200 or 300 loads out of Newark, New Jersey. That 150-mile radius, because that picks up New York City, Southern Connecticut, Pennsylvania, picks up everything. Right now, if I look, and I'll throw this up on the screen. If I look right now for loads out of Newark, New Jersey, there's 140 with an open destination. That is bad, guys. That is within 150-mile radius. There's 140 exact matches. This number should be like 2,900 or something crazy. It's absolutely insane. And everyone says, oh, it's all brokers doing it. No, this is the reason why. If I look up Newark to let me look up Newark to L.A. again. And just to show you the capacity issues, Newark to Los Angeles, because it's absolutely nuts. No matter which way you look at it, it's absolutely nuts. look, this is real. This is real. Newark, New Jersey to Los Angeles, 150-mile radius on either end. There are five loads. There are five loads here. And you see the rates, and I'm not blasting anybody on the rates. The rates are low, too. I mean, but that's the market rate, because if you click on this, I don't know if you guys have all this same ability. I don't know the DAT levels and all that stuff, but $1.19 is the average. So basically 2,800 miles for $1.19. How the hell are you guys supposed to make any money? Here's the average, $1.25 for, 2,900 miles. It's crazy. And then to put it in a perspective, we'll look at the loads, or we'll look at trucks, and we'll see how many trucks are in those areas too, just so you could see, because that's very important. Hold on one second. So let's just do trucks that are within 150 miles of Newark, New Jersey, going to Los Angeles. Now, I know it's typically a cheap lane. I'm just showing. But if any brokers are out there, the second you post a load from Newark to LA, you get 5 million phone calls all at once. So let me look up a truck search. And keep in mind, these are the only people that are posting their trucks. But, according to DAT, they've seen a massive spike in people posting trucks because there's no loads. So let me look here. So remember, Newark to Los Angeles, there were six loads. Just to put it in perspective, let me throw this up on the screen now. So Newark to Los Angeles for a truck search, there are 39 exact matches. 39 exact matches right now. So that means to cover that load, so say I was a broker and I had that one of those loads, say one of those five loads. There's 39 trucks who are going to call about it, and the majority of them are teams. According to what it's showing on DAT. It's crazy. Someone's going to, it's not hard for me to find a truck. Now, based on the principle of everything, like we talked about last week, should I try to pay more? If the customer is willing to pay more, then yeah, I'll pay more. But if the customer isn't willing to pay anymore, there's nothing I could do about it. It's just really nuts. The way the market is going right now is extremely frightening to someone like me, because I can only base it off experience. And unfortunately, in 15 years doing this, I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen the market be like this, you know, and maybe it's just, maybe it has before, and, but I've never seen it like this. I've never, you know, not known what's going to happen in the future. Now, again, I'm a broker and I make money and I, you know, I'm good and I make money off Freight Broker Live and I do all sorts of other things and a bunch of consulting stuff. And, oh, here's the thing too. If you guys do a consulting appointment, make sure that you answer your phone when I call you for the consulting appointment afterwards, because it's kind of pointless. There's a couple of people that signed up for it, and then they don't answer their phone when I call them for the appointment. Anyway, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. Maria said it's simple. All carriers' fault. Don't take loads, and you will make rates go up. They're just taking advantage. It doesn't work for free. I mean, I get that, and I also agree with John. It doesn't exactly work that way, but as I always say, one of the things you can do if you don't like a rate is don't move. I, you know, personally, like I said last week, if I still had trucks, they would all be parked right now. There's not a chance in hell I'd be running any freight. And it's not necessarily because rates are crap, although that's probably the biggest factor to me. It's also because you guys are going into hot zones. You're going into places. You don't have the proper PPE and protections in place to protect yourself from a virus that is just crazy. And I almost think the hype that's around it's even crazier than the actual virus itself. You know, it's nuts. In the United States, we have 574,206 confirmed coronavirus cases, 22,962 deaths, 33,754 people have recovered. That number is up. So if you watch my briefing this morning, that number's up. New York has had 671 cases just today alone, and we are at 2 o'clock. So, you know, New York is over the curve, like Cuomo said, but they already have nearly 800 confirmed cases just, or nearly 700 cases just for today. Florida, again, has had 9 more today, which is kind of crazy, you know? It's just, the whole thing is nuts. You know, and then we have natural disasters. So yesterday, if you guys didn't know, massive storms and some tornadoes and just other high winds and high velocity storms went across a huge amount of cities or a huge amount of states, Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia. I think they're still going on north and South Carolina, causing massive damage. Tornado hit right in downtown Chattanooga, apparently. You know, we have companies like Freight Waves and Arrive Logistics and C.H. Robinson has offices there. All those companies and all those people, while they're actually doing, you know, Freight Waves, as much as I jump on them, they're out every single day spreading news just like I am. You know, granted, I work from my house, so do they, but some of them are going into the office. They're a much bigger company. You know, for them to do everything they're doing and then even get on today and make videos when half of their, or a good portion of their city was mangled, it says something, you know, and it's just another thing that it's just piling on, you know. It's crazy to me. It's just everything that's going on to me, it's almost too much to deal with, to be honest. You know what I did this weekend? Nothing. I laid in bed and watched movies all weekend long. Why? Because I don't know. I just, my brain was fried off of working all week. And then Friday night, I made the video. Thursday night, I was up super late going, you know, doing schoolwork and all that stuff. Because if anyone didn't know, I decided to go back to college because one day I want to teach people how to be freight brokers on the college level, which I don't even think they do. So I'll be a cutting edge person for that. But yeah, it's what you do when you have time on your hands, or not really any time on your hands, but you do it anyway. But yeah, it's crazy. If someone wants to call in, we'll try. I think I've got the phone system all hooked up right. 914-803-4008. You could see the number somewhere up here too. 914-803-4008. Let me see what some of these people are commenting, because we have a lot of comments. We got a lot of people in this chat today too. We've got 89 people on Facebook, 44 on YouTube. We've got a lot of people. Some people on Periscope and Twitch. We've just got people all over the place. It's live everywhere. So make sure, if you guys are watching, share it out to different groups that you're in. If you're watching on YouTube, like it. You know, this is what I do. You know, I really just like talking to people about the industry and showing you guys I care. Right now it's a little bit different though, because I'm so like torn, you know, personally, like on what the F is going to happen to the industry. You know, I know it's, you, I don't cover layoffs. I don't cover any of that stuff anymore unless someone does something really wrong. But this is going to be horrible for trucking because no matter what, it's not going to reboot in a week. This isn't going to start up in a week. It's going to take just as long to come back as it did, you know, to start. And it's taken over a month to start. So even if right now the time's turned and everything started coming back, we're still all screwed. All right, we have a caller, so let me see if this works. Hey, what's up? You're on the air. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. We can
Chris
hear you.
Chris from Michigan.
Yeah, what's up, Chris from Michigan?
Well, I'm sitting for the first time.
Oh, geez.
So I just wanted to say thanks. I'm a new viewer for the most part. A couple of friends of mine had kind of turned me in that direction. Glad to see how real you are. But just to add to the story a little bit, yeah, as of today, as an owner-operator, freights are so bad. Best rate we were getting today was like $1.30, $1.50 if we're lucky. Yeah. I parked my truck, took it in the shop, so I guess it's time to work on it a little bit, but things are bad, and I don't, like anybody else, no one is going to get better, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to get better, but I just don't know when. That's the problem with me is I know there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but, you know, we're still going down, so we can't even see the end yet. And that's kind of my thing is I worry about what rates are doing to guys like you. Like, how, I mean, this personally, so you don't need to answer it, but it's anonymous. How long do you have to actually sit at home? Like, before you actually have to go back out on the road, otherwise you're going to suffer the consequences, essentially.
Well, for me, possibly a little longer than a lot of people, I would say.
Yeah.
Luckily, kind of like you, you know, we kind of got our stuff together, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got some credit to work with, some cash in the bank. You know, that helps.
Right.
It's the only reason why I'm spending money on my truck in a time like this where, you know, we're not making that much as it is.
Right.
Yeah, I have to take advantage of the downtime and, you know, just try to get ready for, you know, when things do start to pick up. But still, at this particular point in time, I mean, you said a couple months. I mean, for me, I got probably $2,000 to $3,000 a month I got to put out.
Right.
Regardless, you know, right. Truck insurance just went up this month again. So,
yeah.
A lot of insurance are raising the rates. So, you know, but those costs are, you know, they're inevitable for us. They were talking a little bit about the PPP, some of the loan programs, or maybe, right, you know, putting something in the, there's actually a petition I saw that you can sign for, trying to get something together for the trucking industry, owner operators, particularly in regards to truck and insurance payments, you know, right, covering the costs of that nature. But a lot of existing business costs are not going to be covered as far as forgiveness.
Right.
So, you know, you're going to end up paying it one way or another anyways.
Right.
So, like you said, I think a lot of guys are going under. I heard you say something on the other show before about how many people just opened up their own DOT authority or something like that. I just think that's nuts.
Yeah, and that's every week. That's every week. They have well
stuff
over.
We were talking about today with bringing new trucks or trying to figure out. I guess I can understand. I'd be a little irritated if I was in a trucking school or I just got past a trucking school and I can't, you know, get my license. But yeah. I would say to anybody out there that's in that situation that they'd be better off doing something else for a while until, you know, trucks start really moving again. Because, you know, anybody coming out of going into a DOT authority is going to be strapped for cash, probably to some extent, spending, trying to get open, trying to get going.
Right.
And, you know, somebody coming out of school is going to be strapped for cash. And this business is not for you right now. You know, I mean, guys are going to be falling like flies, and I don't know how they'd be able to manage, you know, coming out of school, having to go 3-4 weeks or however, you know.
Yeah.
Some schools are maybe 3-4 days now, but still, you know.
They are. There's a place in Miami.
For cash and then trying to go out with a mentor, not getting loads.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I think a lot of the places that do that whole mentoring training, they should have a little bit more freight, you know. But then again, everything's closing. All the shippers and everybody are closing, so it's a very unique situation. Who knows what the hell's going to happen? But and you know, I wish the best for you, and I hope you're able just to take some time off and you know relax a little bit and not stress. You know, like you said, we're a little bit more fortunate where we don't necessarily have to stress over the immediacy of getting this fixed. But, you know, I don't have, you know, 3 or 4 years worth of, not to say this would last that long, but I, you know, I'm good for, you know, the time being, but I know there are a lot of people that aren't, you know, and so what happens to them? But thank you for calling in, sir.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing too. At first, it's like, you know, I'd be glad to try to help out, you know, getting people product they need, whether it's food or supplies, whatever have you. Then it just seemed like a certain amount of risk, and now as rates fall, it's like, is the risk really worth the reward, just to stay afloat, so to speak? And right. You know, that's a tough one, because you know, being an owner, I like to go home at least once a week to my wife, and right. It makes you wonder, you know, like you can only be so careful. And we, as you mentioned, have very limited PPE. Right. You know, I was lucky enough to get some masks and some cooking disposable gloves or right. whatever to help, and some sanitized wipes, you know, trying to quarantine in my truck, not get out or go into truck stops where people are traveling through as much as I can. You know, that's important yeah. stuff for guys that are out there right now.
Gotcha.
You know, it's tough staying out of those truck stops and that sort of thing, but I do it at all costs, other than, you know, getting fuel and a receipt or something. But
yeah.
You know, we just don't have, it's difficult. It's like, you know, if you drove getting sick at all, being in a truck is one of the worst things in the world, you know?
Yeah. I hear you.
Trying to sanitize the truck is an endless constant battle. It's hard enough to keep a truck clean, being that there are work trucks, and you know, with all the weather, but especially the storms that you're talking about, it makes it extra difficult to keep the wet, the dirt and all that out, let right. alone a virus. So
right. Well, I wish you the best and
I sure
your
hope
time
they get
off
some testing for us.
Well, they got to get
another
testing.
Thing, so.
They got to get testing for everybody. It's not just drivers. I think drivers should be, I mean, because I see it every day on the news where they have lines at people. People are just going and getting tested. Like, they actually opened it up for people just to drive through in my town, where you could go and you don't need a doctor's note anymore. And yet they're still, it doesn't make any sense why they don't have it in place. But I'm going to hang up. I'm getting feedback. Thanks for calling in. But it doesn't make any it doesn't make any sense why they haven't set up some sort of road. I mean, you got TAs, you got pilots, you got trucks, you know, and then you have the North American Association of Truck Stop Providers, or whatever the hell they are, the NATSP, the same jokers who tried to get all the food trucks taken off highways. And I love how everybody in the media, or everybody in media and everybody in all the trade associations all jumped on that for being one of the, you know, there were quite a few stupid things that came out in the news last week, but that was one of the better ones, where they were clearly putting profit before protection and driver safety by removing food trucks from highways after the FMCSA recognizes that drivers need to eat. It's crazy, but you would think an association like that with 1,700 member locations would say, hey, listen, why don't we contact the health departments in each of these states and say, listen, why don't you set up a public one at a truck stop so the general public could come through as well, but then truckers are able to go and get tested. That would make a lot of sense, right? Instead, they do it in big parking lots and fields, and you know, the truckers don't go there, you know, but it would be interesting to see what a convoy of trucks would do if they just went to one of these, you know, public testing areas. A lot of them, they wouldn't even be able to get in. But That's something that doesn't make sense. Again, it's the disconnect between the industry and the people outside of the industry, because they don't understand. Drivers can't just jump out of their truck, jump in an Uber, and then go get tested real quick. It doesn't work that way. And if they are thinking that they have something, it's kind of counterproductive for everything. It doesn't literally, the whole thing doesn't make sense. You know, TA or pilot or any of you big loves, any of you guys that have the resource, probably not TA, because you guys are still a little cheap on your old pay parking BS. But any of you guys that actually care about trucking and you want to help the drivers, do call the state health departments and say, listen, we have a parking lot. We'll shut it down for parking and just make it a drive-through testing facility for truckers. Because I'll cover that as a part of the freight media outlets and all that stuff. I'll cover that. That's what needs to be done. Why hasn't anybody done it? Why hasn't anybody thought about it? Why isn't a health department thought about it? You know, there's been such an outcry of what's the right word? Support for the trucking industry, but nobody actually does anything to better the industry. You have an outcry and say, oh, thank you, trucker, thank you, trucker, thank you, trucker. And then a trade organization that directly benefits off of the profit of truckers, i.e. truck stops, goes out and says that they don't want drivers having food readily accessible to them. They only want them going to truck stops. It doesn't make any sense. The whole thing is silly. We thank a trucker who delivers the freight to the food to our restaurants, but you can't go through the drive-through. They fixed pretty much all of that stuff as well, so that's not current, but it's just crazy. It's crazy. John Stater said you're not going to have 2,000 domicile trucks with 84 available loads sit out and wait. It's just not going to happen. They'll take the load. Yeah. I know you guys are having a conversation back and forth. I think a lot of people don't. It's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. Mr. Lampshade said, do we have any shipper customers that watch this or just us carriers and brokers? Probably just carriers and brokers. I think, if I could ever get LinkedIn Live to approve me, I've got a lot of shipper contacts on LinkedIn Live. I've got a lot of contacts in general. I do broadcast this, so I direct everybody from LinkedIn to YouTube to watch it, but I lose a lot of people. If this was live on LinkedIn, I would do, very good. I mean, that show I did Friday had 5,500 views. For a 2-hour conversation to shooting the shit about what brokers do. It's in this time of need. It's crazy. It's crazy. The podcast had 5,000 downloads this week alone or in the past 4 days alone. I don't know what is going on, but people are starting to listen and I like it. It's probably the new microphone. I don't know what the deal is. All right. Phone number is active. 914-803-4008. I'm going to play the Ascend TMS commercial again while I get a drink, and then we'll go through the second half of the commercial, answering all the questions and doing all the stuff we always do.
Aren't you tired of your outdated server installed TMS? Are you stuck with a software that looks like it was developed when the Matrix movie was popular? Well, Ascend TMS is here to bring you to the actual future of TMS solutions. You can literally get started in less than 15 seconds. Ascend TMS is one of the only true cloud-based TMS softwares on the market. While other softwares could take weeks or even months to implement, Ascend TMS just takes a few moments. See, we actually timed it. And what about features? I think we have you covered there. Here at Ascend TMS, we're so confident you'll make your business more efficient and profitable in your first 30 days, we give it to you for free. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today at thefreetms.com.
All right. Yeah, so Ascend TMS, we have some news coming out. So I've been working on an article, not with Ascend TMS, but I've been working on an article about, the whole work from home process in terms of a broker. Granted, carriers, you don't have that privilege. You're just working from the road. But brokers and some of the stuff they've been able to do in the past, like month, is pretty incredible when you think about some of the where they were. You know what I mean? There are a lot of tech-enabled brokers that weren't actually tech-enabled and that have had to make switches. And so I'm working on an article, hopefully it's done tomorrow, where I'm going to highlight some of those companies that, have basically transitioned into, a fully remote, fully functional company without having to make cuts like some of the other, companies did, or without having to lay off massive, staff and without, having to implement a whole new functionality because they already had it in place and they were a little bit protected. So that's one of the things that I'm going to be talking about hopefully tomorrow if I get the story done, but you know, it takes a lot of time. Anyone want to call in? 914-803-4008. This video is going to end probably right at 3 o'clock Eastern time. So I'm going to try to be on the ball for that one. Mural asked a question earlier right here. He said, I hear there may be hazard pay for up to 25,000 for essential workers. Yeah, that's a projected. Here's the truth. I don't think it's going anywhere, to be honest. I think one, we're going to have divisiveness between, you know, the parties, you know, Republican and Democrat. That was posted up by the Democrats, and they want to do, you know, a $25,000, and it does, it's not like a $25,000 check written out to an owner operator. It's not. What it is, someone that's participating in the essential needs, i.e. a nurse working at a hospital, they're saying they're going to include truckers, but that's only going to exempt the truckers that are hauling exempt freight, and it's based on an hourly basis from what I was able to do research on, meaning that the money would go to a company, the company would pay its employees, and there would be an immense amount of paperwork that would have to be maintained to make sure that the load, that the pay that goes, the hazard pay or whatever you want to call it, you know, heroes pay or heroes fund pay or whatever they're trying to call it, that money would have to be strictly accounted for. Because they don't want it going to, say, a guy that, you know, does construction, because that's a non-essential good, or it's a non-essential, even though it may be considered essential in terms of the critical infrastructure worker thing, it's not essential into the actual direct relief efforts, which is kind of hit or miss. So I don't, for one, I don't believe the hazard pay up to $25,000 is actually going to be anything. I do think the trucking industry is going to get some sort of subsidy for, they have to. And if they don't, then that shows you that you're the associations that are out here lobbying for trucking and brokering and all that crap, they're all garbage. Because if they don't go out and if they're not actively lobbying, I know the OIDA put out a statement and said, listen, your supply chain's in jeopardy. You know, they're the only ones besides me, I believe, that have been out there saying, hey, listen, if you guys don't figure out some way to take care of these damn truckers, when they start getting sick, all the drivers are going to pull off the road because they're not going to want to get sick. Right now, you know, in March, it was money. You know, there was a lot of money, so people were out there driving and busting butt. There isn't that money anymore. So if the drivers aren't getting, you know, if they're not making money, why are they going to stay out? Especially if as more and more drivers are found to be becoming sick. You know, it's crazy. Like this, you know, a friend of mine from Vermont, you know, just posted online. I didn't even know she had it, but she had posted online saying she had recovered from it. She's the first person I've known, you know, in person. I've known her for a long time that has had it and recovered. You see news stories and all that stuff, but I tell you, it got a little bit more real there, you know, and it's, the whole thing is nuts. I really don't know what's going to go on. Wildman said he's doing a 34 at Fernley, Nevada, Flying J. Still quite a few loads coming through here. Yeah. Chivo said, safer to stay at home. I agree. I mean, like I said, if I was still driving, I'd be at home right now. It's too hot out there. Even though the DAT maps are saying it's cold, you know, this map here saying it's cold as hell out there. But to me, it's not worth staying out there. There's too many damn trucks. It doesn't do any good. Doesn't do anybody any good. Chivo said, just like the 3-day 10,000 deal, got us nothing. Yeah, I don't know what that deal was either. It doesn't make any sense. Jesse, I don't know what you're talking about. How come they didn't use your voice for the commercial? I don't know what commercial. Oh, for the Ascent commercial? I don't know. I'm glad they used theirs. It's actually a good commercial, and they made it pretty quick. So, Laz said, sorry, just joined. He was busy. I'm not even saying that. He was busy getting over on carriers. See, but that's the thing is I spend a lot of time on Friday going over it. If anyone has 2 hours to kill, find Friday's podcast, the late one I did. It's Freight Broker Live special, you know, Ask a Broker. Find that and listen to that. It's a 2-hour podcast. It's a YouTube video. It's on Facebook as well. It's got a tremendous amount of views on both YouTube and Facebook, which, you know, my YouTube videos never have any views. And that video has like close to 1,600 views, I think, on YouTube, which is crazy in 4 days because I never get views on YouTube. It's people listened and people reacted to that. My website had a lot of traffic from people actually listening to it. It's very important for everyone to actually understand the industry through and through, so you have a good idea of what the hell's going on. I was surprised at how many people would ask very basic questions. Maria and John Stater going back and forth a little bit. Maria, I mean, I get what you're saying. You're saying, you know, don't complain about rates. The carriers are the ones who dictate rates. And I agree with you on that. You know, truckers have it now in hand to get what you deserve. You are the ones who move the market. But a truck that's sitting there and say, the only way you can dictate rates as a trucker, well, there's a few, but the only real way you can do it is in numbers. You know, and that's what everyone says. That's the only way you could affect change in numbers. Because if one driver, say, for example, I have a load from Newark to Southern California. Say I post that load and I know what I want to pay. Say I want to pay $1.10 a mile, whatever, because that average is $1.12. So say it's, you know, I just, whatever, you know, it's a cheap rate. Carrier calls, doesn't like the load. I can't, you know, if I have 38 other trucks that are going to call me about the load, one of them likely is going to take the rate I'm offering. So a solo carrier doesn't have a lot of play in dictating, okay, yes, take the load. No, don't take the load. The way they have play is by numbers, by everybody, all 38 or 39 of those trucks saying, listen, I need, you know, $1.80 a mile or $2 a mile or $3 a mile, whatever the case may be. It doesn't mean you're going to get it. But it's, you're not, one person could take a stand and say, okay, well, I'm not taking this load. It's too cheap for me. It doesn't necessarily help the cause because nobody else is going to listen. A lot of people are saying that, you know, brokers are just making some stupid commission. And again, some are, I'll say that. But when people are saying every broker does it and the people that are posting out these loads are just making some stupid, you know, huge commission on it. Again, it's a disconnect of the industry. It means that you don't necessarily understand the industry as much as you need. Ryan Johnson said he's a shipper that watches this. There you go. You're probably going to get inundated with replies now. But you also own trucks in a brokerage. Gotcha. Brazil, whatever that means. But yeah, can you Uber carpool with a semi? I know, right? Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. The whole thing is just nuts. You know, the whole, everything that's going on with this whole thing, it's frightening. You know, this to me, seeing this in the sea of blue, like I always say, or like I said, this is a week from, you know, this is on Friday. This isn't today. So, and remember, if you guys missed the beginning of the show, look over here, the very blue, the dark blue like this, or even light blue, if you want to call that, the, according to this new DAT market index, this light blue or dark blue means it, there's a very loose capacity, which means there's too many trucks on it for the load volume that's out there. We already know 60% of shippers are closed. 60% of manufacturers and all that stuff are closed. So the only the 40% are open, and they're pumping out higher volumes than they typically do. The problem is we're still seeing a drastic reduction in freight volume, and yet we have a massive surge of capacity as more people are coming to the spot market because contract shippers are closed and all this stuff. It's really quite nuts what's going on. And for me to see this sea of blue, scared me quite a bit. You know, and again, this is Friday. I mean, I'll go through each day. You know, if we look at today, because it also does real time too. I'll look at today if it loads up here in a second. So this is today. So you see like Southern Texas and New Mexico. Those are, you know, a little bit more in demand because there's no trucks. Laredo market was like that over the weekend. You know, but you guys could see even the map changes as I go through, you know, the video because it's a live map. It's actually pretty cool. The functionality in this software is pretty rad, if you ask me. Like tomorrow, this is the, it's still blue. I don't care. This is still showing really light capacity. This is either negative or just barely positive for capacity. So we're still, nobody's going to be in the market of dictating rates, you know, which is, it's absolutely crazy. I'm just searching through the days here. Once they load, I'll throw them up there. So like this is Wednesday, according, like this, it's still blue. This is Wednesday, as you can see here, you know, and it just continuously stays this way. And I was so excited. And that's why I wrote the article. Like the software is very cool. You know, it would, it would be really neat for carriers if we're in a good time, meaning that we're not in, you know, the beginnings of what could potentially be, you know, a trucker purge, as I, you know, called it on Friday, and then other people have picked it up, because that's really what this could be. This could be a small business trucking purge. If this stays like this for another month, how many of you guys out there honestly would be able to sustain for another month? Another month of running dirt cheap rates, way worse than 2019. That's why I saw an article that said we're not at 2019 rates yet. According to what I'm seeing, we are. We're well below it. So I don't know. A lot of people say, we are or we aren't. According to what I'm seeing in terms of what I paid as a broker versus what I could pay now, I do think we're well below 2019 rates. But that, again, that's on me. You know, it's crazy. Microlithic said, where do you find it on your DAT dashboard? If you have DAT Power or DAT Office, you have the little briefcase up at the top. If you click the briefcase, it's called Market Conditions. Everybody should have it. Oh, I wasn't streaming that page. Hold on. So if you're over here and you click over here, Market Conditions, that's where it is. And it's a very cool tool, and it's free. And I think everybody should everybody should use it. It's just not... it's not a good time for the software, because like I said, I was super excited to use it. And then I got it. They turned it on like Friday morning at midnight or something like that. And I actually was up and I used it, and I was like, damn it. Cause it doesn't say anything good for the industry. It doesn't at all. It doesn't say anything good for the industry at all. You know, it's just, it's concerning, man. It scares the crap out of me, because how long is this going to last? How many of my friends that are out there driving trucks and have their own trucking companies and fought through, you know, tooth and nail to make it through 2019 are just going to end it in 2020 because it can't keep going? How many brokerages are going? Because here's the kicker too, is we can still cover the same amount of loads. That's, you know, we covered more loads, but our revenues were down. Remember when I said that in the beginning of the show? Granted, we covered way more loads than we typically do, but our revenues were down because a broker makes a percentage of the profit. So if we're paying less, then clearly we're taking a hit on the profit too. Not as much as a carrier, you know, mind you. Well, granted, the percentage rate stays the same in my case, but not all brokers do that. But it's... you know, we covered way more loads and made less profit than we would have if I covered those same loads 2 months ago. It's just, how long can a small broker sustain that? You know, how long can a small broker that, say, does like $5 million and just deals with produce, like a watermelon broker that watches this show all the time? How long is he going to be able to sustain knowing that he's not shipping? So say they're shipping watermelon, but they used to do 20 truckloads a day, and now they're only doing one because nobody's buying it. What if you haul milk and you're just dumping out the milk, or you're a farmer and you have all this? It's scary to me, man, to see all this stuff happen. It's frightening to me because I don't know when it's going to turn, if that makes sense. I don't know when it's going to turn and when people are going to start being profitable again. And I don't know if I've ever been in this situation before where, you know, we just sat and waited, you know, and nobody has the answer. You know, I watch, you know, Freight Waves with all their market analysts and you know, all the you know, supremely intelligent people that are on there. And that's not a jab. They're literally like PhDs and all that crap. And I'm just waiting for one of them to be like, okay, yes, we have exactly 37 days, then the market will turn. Because you would think that's what they're doing, but they don't have an idea. Nobody does. You know, the only people that have said anything are like, you know, market people. So like, you know, JP Morgan Chase economists have said that they originally said we're going to see a 25% reduction in GDP over 2020. Now they've amended that to say we're going to see a 40% reduction in GDP. 40% reduction in gross domestic product here in the United States. It's insane. We have 16 million. Well, it's probably well over 20 million that have lost their jobs. But we have 16 million unemployment claims filed in the United States in the past 3 weeks. And it's probably well more than that, because I know a lot of people that were part of that TQL loss or TQL firing slash mass termination slash their computer system couldn't allegedly handle all the work, remote workforce, whatever the case may be. But I know a lot of those guys that just said, screw it. They had my mentality. They got laid off. They just go out and get another job. That's it. You know, and, you know, I spoke to a lot of them that were, you know, went straight to Amazon because Amazon's hiring. That's another thing, too. Amazon announced today, you know, they announced a couple of weeks ago they were hiring 100,000. Now they announced today they're hiring an additional 75,000 people because they can't get enough. They've cut back orders on through Whole Foods and all sorts of stuff. It, like, everything that's going on, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's really... It's nutty to me, you know? 914-803-4008. You're welcome to call in. We got about 3 or 4 minutes before the show ends. Freightmaster Resources on YouTube said he agrees. It's well below 2019 rates. I agree. Vintine Marie on Facebook said, I work for a small 70-truck carrier. That's good. There was no follow-up comment I didn't see, so... Yeah, it's Maxim on Facebook said everything will be okay. For me, it's just somebody's evil plan to knock the economy thing. We'll get over it. Of course we're going to get over it. This is America. I mean, we're going to get over it, but it's just, it's frightening to see what's actually going on now. You know what I mean? That's to me, that's the bigger issue. Yes, of course. I know we're going to rebound. We could be in a recession and blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be like, you know, what it used to be. Everyone's going to be able to recover from this. It's inevitable, you know, but just how long it's going to last and what kind of effects it's going to have on people. It's going to be crazy. Tim Brown, Kathy Burgess on Facebook said, do we cut off the head to try to save the hand? I don't know. I don't know what that reference means. The whole thing is just nuts, you know, but it is what it is. Wes Oberman on Facebook said, I don't think we're going to rebound. I don't think we're going to get our rights back. I don't know what you mean again by any of that. Doesn't make any sense. Trucker's Wall of Shame Uncensored said we could use some help on the single owner operator side for SBA stuff like 2018, 1040, or 1099. I need more solid info. Well, if you go to my website, you should see a tab there for Bookkeeping It Simple. You can email Shannon. She's a guest writer on my website, but she's also a bookkeeper and accounting person. And if you have questions, she's written some articles on the SBA loans and all that stuff, which are on that link. But you could also just reach out to her and she could help you with whatever you could, whatever she is comfortable helping you out with, but you could reach out to her. Rod Wilsford said, like I said before, Amazon is going to rule the world. I really think, I mean, if you look at it now, UPS is, you know, oh God, not UPS, USPS. What the hell is going to happen with that? You know, there's nothing for them to ship. They're already losing money every single year. And I know they were part of the bailout and all that stuff. It's not going to be enough. And Amazon, you know, all these articles that said Amazon was, you know, pulls the door on all this stuff. Amazon realized, okay, we're going to close our shipping program down because it doesn't make any money. And a lot of people said, oh, you know, a lot of carriers thought that meant the Amazon, you know, trucking side. No, that's extremely profitable. They're not talking about that. They're talking about the little package delivery service they were doing. Because like I said, wouldn't it be brilliant of Amazon just to say, hey, listen, instead of building the whole thing ourselves, let's just buy FedEx or let's just buy UPS or let's just start managing it. I seriously think that's going to happen. Amazon will be the biggest logistics player for years and years to come, in my opinion. You know, it's crazy. ASAP Hall on YouTube said some owner operators with criminal history can't get SBA help. Yeah, probably. I don't know. I'm not a financial person. If you can't tell, I try to deflect most of those questions because I don't know and I really don't want to give wrong advice. My thing is reach out to your banker, see if you can get it that way. You know, if you got a record, you got a record. There's nothing, you know, nothing anybody can do for that, you know. Just keep working, go get a second job. Amazon's hiring 75,000 people. So instead of sitting at home getting unemployment because you know you're not going to make enough running your truck, go get a job at Amazon. Go get a job at a warehouse. Go do anything else. You know, that's my personal opinion. I'm not a big fan of unemployment or anything like that. For me personally, I've never filed it, never will take even. I've never been fired from a job, but I've gotten laid off once actually. But even though I didn't qualify for unemployment that time, I wouldn't have applied for it because I already had other things going. I would never. It just to me, I don't know. It's my thing. And plus, I know I have enough trades and skills and all that shit. I could just go out and get a new job whenever I wanted. You know, and everybody has that availability because places are still hiring. You know, Amazon's hiring 75,000 more people. Walmart's hiring a bunch of people as well. Costco's hiring people the same day you walk in. That's what one of those TQL dudes did. He got fired from TQL, and he literally, while he had all his shit in his truck, he got out and he went into Costco, and he started working that night for $17 an hour. Is it better than what he was making? No. Is he tired and doing? But he had kids and a wife, and he had to provide for him. That's what people do. It's kind of crazy, right? But I'm not a big fan of all the SBA help and loans and stuff, and I'm not gonna apply for them because I don't need them. But other people do. You know, but in terms of guidance on how to do it, I have no idea. I have no idea at all. Edgar said he's been wiping his butt with his socks. I know. My wife went to Walmart this morning to try to find more toilet paper. Nope, she bought paper towel. I mean, we're still good. You know, I've had a couple of you guys, a couple of viewers send me some stuff. And then, you know, we found it every now and then because we end up going to the store, you know, once a week. So we find it. It's crazy. Tim Brown said, is what we're doing worth it? If you're talking about driving a truck, I don't know. If you have to weigh your risk versus reward at this point, is what I'd say. You know, like I said, if you can float yourself for a couple of months without having to be out on the road, there's no reason to be on the road right now. There's no reason to be driving a truck because you're not going to, it's not like you're going to make a bunch of money. So that's my opinion. You know, I know someone asked earlier if now would be a good time to get into the trucking industry. And just like I said on Friday, it's only a good time to get into the trucking industry if you can wait to get into it. Meaning you buy your company, start out, you know, file your numbers, pay for your insurance and get it. So when the market switches and rates start coming back up, you're good to go. But would I jump in a truck and go move freight right now? Absolutely not. Because you do two things. One, you're just going to be running negative. And secondly, you're hurting the industry because you're running freight when other people that are already out there and already have the expenses are busting their butt trying to compete against all this new, you know, market capacity that's currently out there. And if the FMCSA apparently gets their way, there's going to be additional capacity as they keep exempting all these stupid, you know, like I said in the beginning, you can take a CDL test now without the instructor as long as you have cameras in the truck. The whole thing is bonkers. I'll have an article out today, maybe around 5 o'clock for that one, because it's the stupidest thing I've heard. I've heard a lot of stupid things in the past couple of weeks, man. Persmall said he wanted to hire a few more drivers. They told me to collect big fat checks for unemployment, so they're not even looking for work. And that's the truth. A lot of people are lazy, man. They just rather sit at home. You know, I had one person that I was talking to, and they said that was their deal. They had the option to be laid off. And they chose to be laid off. Instead of working, they chose because they get an unemployment check. And then the guy calls me and he's like, hey, I want you to teach me how to broker. And I said, no, no. He's like, oh, I could pay you. We get unemployment all that. And I said, no, bud, you're like literally going against the principles that I hold dear. No, if you still have a job and you still have the availability to work, then go work. That's it. Go work. Brandon Jackson said he parked his truck for the week. Not worth moving it. I agree, buddy. That's it. All right, guys. So I'm going to wrap this video up. If you've never watched my show before, I go live every single day, Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 o'clock usually. On Fridays now, every day for now, at least until the quarantine thing is done, I'm going to keep doing that ask a broker thing because I think it's very important to just talk to people. So that'll be at 8 o'clock on Friday nights. I do all sorts of stuff. Make sure you check out my website, freightbrokerlive.com. Also, in the link, if you're watching this on YouTube, you're going to see a link down there. I have reactivated the Patreon account. I haven't really done anything with it yet, but if you want to subscribe to Patreon and, I don't know, just help, you know, help keep the show, you're welcome to do that. It's how I get the new cameras and all the gear and all that stuff, that and advertising. Make sure you check freightbrokerlive.com for all your breaking news stories. And here, I have one last question for everybody. Because I think this is our last request for everybody because it's super helpful to me. Please make sure you like the Facebook page. And if you're on Twitter and you're on LinkedIn and all that and you see me post an article, please share it out. You know, because I don't want to be the guy sharing out all my stuff all the time. If you see something, you like it and it just hit that spot because a lot of you guys will like a comment or like an article. Just share it out to a group or two and share the brand with everybody. Make sure you like and follow, subscribe, do all that stuff on YouTube and all that stuff that people are supposed to be doing. And we will see you tomorrow.